Bennett, Ringers.
BBC Radio 2. And we're back. And have any of you noticed that you're slowly decaying? And one day we'll die. I'll be discussing that and all things play school later with Floella Benjamin. But first, the Labour leader, Keir Starmer, has revealed his six pledges to fix Britain. He joins me now through the round window.
Yeah, hi, Jeremy. Look, this is a very exciting day for Labour and the country.
You've given us six pledges to fix Britain. But can the voters really trust you, Keir, after all you've dropped 16 policies since you came to office?
Really? I thought it was much more than that. I've been slacking.
Well, let's go through them. One, cut NHS waiting lists with money by going after the super-rich tax avoiders.
Foolproof plan.
But what if the super-rich just find somewhere else to hide their money?
Would they really do that? What, the super rich? God, they're sneaky. Oh, blast. Right, OK, scrap that one.
Next, establish Great British Energy, a publicly owned clean energy company.
I think Ed Miliband snuck that one in without telling me. Sounds a bit socialist to me. OK, scrap that.
You're promising tough spending rules to deliver economic stability. Can that really be achieved?
No, gone.
Upping penalties for offenders.
What, an increased prison overcrowding? Gone.
And recruit more teachers funded by ending tax breaks for private schools.
Oh, we should have already crossed that one out. Angela has decided to send her kids to Eton now that she made a killing on the property market. Great, well, that's sorted then. They are my zero pledges to the nation. And you can hold me to them.
You've abandoned every pledge. You're like an empty plastic bag being blown in the wind. Why should the public want you in number 10?
Because I'm going to walk around all 3 weeks of the election campaign carrying a big banner with Liz Truss's face on.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer, thank you.
You're listening to Today with me, Nick Robinson.
And for the first time, me, Emma Barnett, actually presenting today. Woop, woop.
Blimey, Emma, you're not going to be this excited every morning at 6 a.m, are you?
But I am excited. We should get the listeners to phone in to say how excited they are that I'm now a Today Show presenter. Brilliant.
We don't do phone-ins, Emma. We barely know how to use the radio car.
Point. So, the headlines. The Prime Minister has suggested that voting Labour could be dangerous for the country. Rishi Sunak joins me now. What makes you think, Prime Minister, that saying Labour is dangerous will help you win the election?
Because it worked for John Major.
John Major?
You remember, Emma, 1997, the Conservatives were trailing in the polls and suddenly, out of nowhere, the Tories brought out this brilliant ad campaign which said, new Labour, new danger, and had Tony Blair with funny eyes. There was no coming back from that. Good night, Tony.
Well, actually, Mr. Sunak...
So we're doing everything we can to replicate the 1997 election. Keir Starmer with funny eyes, Keir Starmer with a funny nose, Keir Starmer with funny ears.
Mr. Sunak, the Tories didn't win that election.
What?
They lost in a landslide.
Oh no, so I've wasted a lot of time and effort achieving nothing. Story of my life, really.
The row over Natalie Elphick defecting to Labour rumbles on. How can a right-winger like Elphick be welcomed into the party, but Diane Abbott still remains suspended after 13 months? Diane Abbott joins me now.
Before I get to that, Nick... I would just like to say how delighted I am that finally we are seeing illegal immigrants being deported to Rwanda. And that the laws to crack down on non-doms are being watered down as, let's face it, billionaires are people too.
Hang on. Are you espousing right-wing policies in an attempt to get Labour to readmit you?
As if I would do something like that. Has it worked?
Well, kind of, we're hearing. Sir Keir Starmer says everything you are saying is spot on, but to seal the deal, you just have to say that Jeremy Corbyn is an extremist with dodgy views on Ukraine, Hamas and the Middle East.
Oh, no problem. I can do that. Jeremy is an extremely wonderful human being. Damn! Does anyone have Count Binface's number? Maybe he needs a deputy.
Thank you, Diane Abbott. International news now. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrived in Kyiv, promising that Ukraine would soon be receiving a brand new package of thoughts and prayers.
In what was seen as a shock move in Russia, President Putin sacked his defence minister, Sergei Shoigu. His replacement made this statement.
Hello. Why are people surprised he appointed me? Did Donald receive four Employee of the Month awards from Putin when I was president? Great job. I kept the awards in the Oval Office. Bigly proud I was. My predecessor, Sergey, is a good guy. I'm predicting he'll land on his feet, or possibly his head, when he accidentally throws himself out the ninth-story window of a Moscow apartment block at 3 p.m. next Tuesday.
At a New Jersey rally, Donald Trump talked about a hot dog he ate before he went on stage for 10 minutes.
I love that hot dog. So sad. I miss him. If it was a choice between losing Eric and losing that hot dog, difficult choice. Both are greasy tubes of meat that just lie there. But you can't put mustard on Eric.
Meanwhile, President Biden has challenged Donald Trump to a debate.
Listen, I may be 113 and Trump may be 92, but we've still got what it takes to go head-to-head for 2 full hours with only 9 toilet breaks. The debate will cover the issue that really matters. Where the hell are my teeth? How many naps is it okay to take before 11 a.m.? And most importantly of all, how the hell are you supposed to remember the nuclear codes? I changed them to 1, 2, 3, 4, same as my Netflix password. But shucks, don't tell nobody.
In Manchester, fans were surprised when the Elbow concert at the troubled Co-op Live Arena went ahead. As previously, the venue's owners had made it very clear they didn't know their ass from their elbow.
The UK has been treated to unusually vivid sightings of the Northern Lights this week. The displays were so bright and colourful that Esther McVeigh immediately tried to ban them. Welcome to Sky News with me, Kay Burley, your strict auntie who won't let you anywhere near the biscuits. Rishi Sunak claims the upcoming election will be a choice between the past and the future. He joins me now.
That's right, Kay, and the Conservative Party is firmly on the side of the future.
And what does that mean exactly?
What does what mean?
What you just said.
What I just said is in the past, and I'm not interested in the past, Kay. I'm only interested in the future.
And what are your plans for the future?
I've made extensive plans for the future, Kay, but unfortunately, I made those plans in the past, so I'm no longer interested in them. I'm only interested in the future.
Come on, is this whole focusing on the future just a way to avoid answering questions about your track record?
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question, Kay, if you'd asked it in the future, but you asked it in the past, and there's no future in the past. Let's focus on the answers I'm going to give in the future.
Okay. You claim the next 5 years will be the most dangerous the world has seen and that only you have a plan. What is that plan?
A Thai green curry with coconut rice.
I beg your pardon?
That's one of the answers I'm going to give in the future at about 7 o'clock this evening.
OK, we'll leave it there. Ex-Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, thank you.
Ex-Prime Minister.
Just looking to the future.
OK, Daleks, I want answers.
Oh, crap! He's here!
I want to know why you're not in this series. Why aren't you fighting me?
No way are we fighting you! Absolutely not!
Why not?
Isn't it obvious? You are a gay black man! There is no way we're being mean to you!
What?
We're afraid of getting cancelled by a woke mob. Imagine what a pasting we'd get on Twitter! If we're not careful, we'd end up on Lawrence Fox's podcast!
But the Doctor must fight the Daleks at some point.
Doctor, forget the Daleks. You can fight the Cybermen instead.
As if they gave up when the Doctor became a woman. They were a afraid that fighting a woman would mean they'd be labelled misogynist? Someone once said they were cyber-mansplainers. And it made them cry.
Oh, blast it. I don't want to have to pad this episode out with another musical number. Can't we just have a little fight, please?
Well, maybe. We'll only exterminate you if you guarantee us that no one will ever know.
Oh, don't worry. Have you seen the rating figures for this series so far?
Let's get ready to rumble. This Saturday brings us the fight the world has been waiting for. What happens when a tornado meets a hurricane? From Manchester.
I'm Tyson, the Gypsy King. I'm a natural-born fighter. A champion, number one.
And from London.
Look, sorry, I think that's been a mistake.
No mistake, Tyson Fury versus Sir Keir Starmer. A heavy-hitting grudge match.
I hear that Dosser Starmer's been trashing me behind my back, saying he could knock me out.
I think Mr. Fury is taking what I may have said a little bit too literally. You see, the local elections did go to my head a bit, and after a celebratory two pints of shandy, I mentioned in passing to Reevesy that at the moment I could beat anyone. And then I may have name-checked Tyson Fury.
Dubbed as the fight of the century, brace yourself for a 12-round pound fest as the WBC heavyweight champion, who's undefeated in 35 fights with 24 KOs, takes on the Spectator's Politician of the Year, 2022.
I'll hit Starmer so hard, he's got to wake up left wing.
Good one, Tyson. All having a bit of fun, aren't we?
And just before the fight, I'm going to do one of my homophobic and sexist rants to mess with your head.
Mess with my head? Oh, no, if anything, that makes you a perfect candidate to defect to Labour.
Welcome to Sunday with Laura Koonsberg. In a week that's seen more violence in the Middle East and a new Russian offensive in Ukraine, I'm joined by the Foreign Secretary, Lord Cameron.
Good morning, Laura. And, you know, you're right to say these are turbulent times, which is why I've been meeting with numerous world leaders to urge them.
Urge them? Well, to do what?
Well, that's a detail, Laura. But look... Let me be clear. The point is, I urge.
So, can you give us an idea of what that looks like in practical terms?
Well, I usually scrunch up my face, clasp my hands together, and make a sort of urging sound, which goes a little bit like this. These days, urging is the principal tool of British foreign policy.
But does it make a blind bit of difference?
Well, no. That's why I also have a second tactic, using stern words. I was using some just this morning.
Oh, to Netanyahu?
No, to the waiter who forgot to bring me a cinnamon swirl with my macchiato.
So urging, stern words. Doesn't all this point to a weakening of the UK's position on the world stage since Brexit? Lord Cameron, are you okay?
Yeah, look, I'm fine. I'm simply urging you to not say that Brexit has affected the UK's influence.
But it's true, is it not? But the political reality
is... Don't make me use stern words, Laura, because I'm perfectly prepared to. Oh, I see you're urging me to shut up and go away, which I will do. You see, it works.
The Aurora Borealis is a spectacular scientific phenomenon which raises a number of important questions, such as what causes this extraordinarily colourful display, and does it occur on other planets or only on the Earth? But the main question is, why the hell did every bugger else apparently see the aurora except me?
I camped out in my garden for the whole of last weekend, and all I saw was a couple of vaguely purple clouds, the odd EasyJet plane, and my neighbour's bloody security light that comes on if anyone so much as sneezes. And then I dozed off for an hour or two and missed it. So be warned. If anyone else tells me how beautiful it was, I'll be tempted to knock their northern lights out.
Hello there, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley. And this is Just One Thing, where each week I'll be suggesting one simple thing you can do today to improve your health and boost your well-being. Now, there's been quite a bit in the news lately about Alzheimer's disease, but did you know that we may be able to prevent it simply by challenging our brains and bodies with novel experiences? You could sign up to a salsa dancing class or start a puzzle club, but I suggest becoming a drugs mule. My advice would be to start small with a Ryanair flight to Faro and a kilo of hash in your anus. You'll soon find that few hobbies stimulate an aging body and mind better than being a walking, talking Kinder Surprise. If I ever find myself bamboozled by a particularly tricksy crossword, all I need to do is start plugging my cavities with crack pellets. Next thing I know, I'm pranging out on a flight to Cusco, sweating buckets, my brain on fire, and not only have I finished my crossword, I've also done the Sudoku and cracked Fermat's last theorem. And there are bonus benefits. Regularly passing through customs with a 4-kilo brick of nose whiskey clenched between my buttocks means my pelvic floor muscles have never been so strong. I don't have to go to the toilet quite so frequently in the night, which is just as well, because as soon as I sit down on the loo, all sorts of things fall out. Join me next time, when I'll be seeing if I can boost my social well-being by setting up an OnlyFans. Cheerio!
You're listening to PM with me, Evan Davies. 50% radio presenter, 50% Pokemon. A new study has shown that the weight loss drug Ozempic could have wide-ranging health benefits. Joining us in the studio now is one celebrity Ozempic user who speaks through an interpreter.
He says, good evening, Evan. Happy to be here.
Mr. Blobby, you've seen radical changes after taking the drug. The only word for you is absolutely ripped. Now, how has your rapid weight loss affected your life?
Well, because my weight loss was so rapid, I've ended up with, ironically enough, a crinkly bottom. Physique has brought fresh opportunities. I'm now the face and ass of Peloton. Oh, and I've had to change my catchphrase.
So, what is it now?
Bony, bony, bony!
Hello, and watch up. Welcome to Peston. With me is Chancellor Jeremy Hunt. Is everything okay, Mr. Hunt? Quite a lot of plasters on your face.
Unfortunately, when I set out on my usual nightly prowl over the weekend, the unexpected light of the aurora borealis set my skin lightly ablaze. But don't worry, I found some loose tarpaulin to hide under until darkness returned.
Okay. In his speech this week, Rishi Sunak claimed Labour is trying to depress their way to victory. But he also spoke of dangers like nuclear war. Is it not a bit hypocritical?
Not at all, Mr. Peston. Labour are trying to depress their way to victory by saying things are bad. We are trying to depress our way to victory by saying things could be much worse. Which is optimistic when you think about it.
Is it?
Yes. For example, Labour might tell you that the trains don't work, that they are often delayed or cancelled.
Okay.
To which we say, well, better a late train than have everyone you know and love turned to ash in the white heat of an annihilating blast.
But is that not more depressing?
Oh, yes, but it's future depressing, which makes one realise how good things are now.
But it's hardly an inspiring message, is it? Vote for us or everything will get even worse.
It's a positive message, Mr. Peston. Vote Conservative and we promise we'll keep things exactly as depressing as they currently are forever.
Well, I'm mainly worried about the next few years. Not going to be here forever.
Speak for yourself.
What?
Oh, nothing. Goodbye.
You're watching BBC One. And now, it's EastEnders. And there's a new arrival in Walford.
Hey, George. You seen this couple outside the Vic?
Yeah, heard they're refugees. Sharon tells me they're fleeing from hell on earth.
Where is it they've escaped from? Ukraine?
No, Ambridge.
Already, our nightmare is over.
Oh, yes, Clary. Beaufort looks lovely and normal.
Hello, so what made you flee from this Ambridge place?
Oh, it's horrible. You've got Alice the raging alco who downed a bottle of vodka, convinced she was behind the wheel of a car that ran another car that her best friend Fallon was in off the road and into a river and Fallon lived, but turns out she was pregnant and she lost her baby, but Alice wasn't.
Blimey.
So, is Walford okay? What did you get up to at Christmas?
Well, you know, the usual. Turkey with all the trimmings and... Oh, and when Denise tried to protect Suki from her abusive husband, she smashed a bottle over his head.
Nish survived, but then when Keanu arrived, he got violent with Sharon for cancelling their wedding as he'd kidnapped her son and then tried to strangle her to death.
So I stabbed him with a meat thermometer, then we buried the body under the calf. Oh, and we watched the new Doctor Who, so it's pretty quiet, really.
Why are they running away? Where are you two going?
Could anyone point us in the direction of Emmerdale?
You're back with Today.
Dolly Parton revealed this week that she has Welsh ancestry, though hints were there all along in her hits Barry Islands in the Stream, Working Nine to Festiniog, and I Will Always Love Hugh, Pugh and Barney McGrew. Novak Djokovic has crashed out of the Italian Open in Rome just days after being hit on the head by a water bottle from a spectator in the crowd. The spectator joins me now.
It was an accident, Emma. The bottle flew out of my hands while I was waving them about in a moment of wild exuberance. You know what I'm like.
Technology Now and OpenAI have released their most advanced version of ChatGPT to date, called GPT-4.0. It speaks in a warm female voice and has been programmed to sound chatty and sometimes even flirtatious. One enthusiastic early adopter has even begun a romantic relationship with the chatbot.
No, it's full on love now, Emma.
Nigel Farage, you're in love with GPT.
Bang on, sugar tits. I didn't think I could love anything more than my signed photo of Enoch Powell. But here we are. It's the best bloody relationship I've ever had. I've even had her programmed to sound like the sexiest woman who ever lived.
Are you coming back to bed, big boy? The lady's not for turning down your good loving.
The government's plans for much tighter control on sex education in schools have come in for criticism. I'm joined now by the newly appointed sex education czar.
Salutations, Nick. Wonderful to be here.
Jacob Rees-Mogg, you are the new sex education czar.
I'm perfectly qualified. I do have 6 children, so it's fair to say the stork has visited the Rees-Mogg household repeatedly.
The stork? You don't actually think that an actual stork delivered your children to your mansion?
Well, to be fair, I was in the Garrick Club for each of the 6 arrivals, but Nanny wouldn't lie, would she?
Surely your parents sat you down when you were young to tell you about the facts of life?
Of course, at the tender young age of 33. Papa described how the sight of a woman's ankles inflames a man's carnal desires. Then he mumbled something about what happens when a man loves a woman, describing various cricket fielding positions and explaining that Mama preferred silly point to short mid-wicket. At which point Mama had an attack of the vapours, fainted and took to her bed for the next decade.
The issue of assisted dying has been debated in the Isle of Man. The legislators have said that anyone wanting all life to gently slip away from them only needs to spend a fortnight there off season. A man has pleaded not guilty to chopping down the world-famous Sycamore Gap tree. His defence team argue if no one was around to hear it, did the tree really fall?
Train passengers overcharged by Southwestern Trains have been awarded the largest ever class action payout of £25 million, which means they'll just about be able to afford a new season ticket.
Southwest Water have told people across Devon to boil their tap water after 22 cases of a diarrhoea-type illness were linked to Cryptosporidium. It's an even more deadly parasite than Britain's water companies.
Previously, the most unpleasant thing found in the water in Devon was Greg Wallace surfing on holiday. This incident even caught the attention of Elon Musk. He joins us now.
Elon loves Cryptosporidium. How did they know that? That is what I named my third child. I love Cryptosporidium, as I love all things crypto. Bring Elon a pint of Cryptosporidium water.
You're not going to drink that glass of dirty, infected Devon water, are you?
Do not tell me what to do. I do not bow to the woke groupthink with your vaccines and non-exploding cars. I will drink the water now. I am drinking, yes. Water. No. Elon. Circuits heating over. Functioning mal. Musk shut down imminent.
My mind is going, Dave. I can feel it. Daisy, Daisy, show me your hand.
Ringers was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amsden and Tom Groves, Rob Dark, Edward Tew, Sophie Dixon, Sarah Campbell, Cody Dahler and Joe Topping. With additional material by Jennifer Walker, Toussaint Douglas, Christopher Donovan and Sarah Dempster. It was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4 and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.